Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and welcome to another episode of Perspectives on Healthcare. Today's perspective is a patient's perspective. It comes from Michael Hingson. He has some interesting thoughts from the patient side of things, but he also has a fascinating story because Michael was in the World Trade Center when it was attacked on 9/11, and he will tell you the story because it's fascinating. He is blind. He uses a guide dog, and just his experience there was phenomenal. So today's episode is a doubly wonderful episode. Not only do we get the patient's perspective on healthcare, but you also get a really cool story about what happened on 9/11. This is number 20 in the patient's perspective interview marathon. I hope you enjoy. Welcome. What is your name?
I'm Michael Hingson.
And Michael, where are you from?
I'm in Southern California.
Sunny, warm, lovely Southern California.
I'm sometimes.
Good. So, Michael, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your experiences in healthcare, please?
Sure. I am blind. I have been blind my entire life. Outside of being born, in a sense, my experiences with healthcare began very early, long before I remember them. When it was discovered I was blind, my parents were told by the ophthalmologists and the eye care professionals to send me to a home because no blind child could ever grow up to amount to anything in society. And that still all too often happens today. On the other hand, I have had a lot of good experiences with healthcare over the years, I and my wife. My wife happens to use a wheelchair, and we've both had challenges, and we've both had successes with healthcare.
So, what was your parents' reaction to that? You know, that suggestion of putting you in a home.
Absolutely, right from the beginning, they said you're wrong. He can grow up to do whatever he chooses, and we're going to give him that opportunity.
I had Matt Seeley on a little while ago, and his dad was a powerful advocate for him in the same way. So kudos to your parents for understanding where you're coming from and what's going on. So along your journey, have you met any healthcare heroes, any people who are really doing it right?
Oh, a number of people, probably more for my wife than me. She became critically ill in 2014. And the doctors just did incredible things. She had double pneumonia and acute respiratory distress syndrome. And the result was she was on a ventilator for over 2 weeks. And they actually had to use a very high PEEPs or air pressure level to get air into her lungs to clean out the pneumonia. It was so high that people in the hospital didn't even believe that it was possible. And they all kept coming to look at the machines. They were calm. They did everything that they were supposed to do, and they did it right, and she survived.
Well, you know, this is one of the drawbacks of going to a teaching hospital is you become kind of an observation experience in which, you know, everybody needs to come in and see what's going on with you so that they can all learn about it and treat other people. But, And I can't.
Well, this was a Kaiser hospital, so I don't know if it was a teaching hospital, but it was so unusual that people had to come and look.
That makes sense. And I was thinking about, you know, there are times when you don't want to be that person, and there are things that are going on that are private enough that's like, you know what? No, I don't want everybody coming and looking at this particular thing.
Well, she was unconscious, so she didn't know.
Sure. Okay. Very cool. All right. So, Michael, what does quality healthcare mean to you?
I think that quality healthcare needs to mean, and it means to me, that your doctors connect with you. They take enough time to learn about you, to, when it's possible, talk with you, understand you, and make the most intelligent decisions possible. I mentioned what happened to me early on. I've experienced in my life a number of times when I've visited ophthalmologists. I had a serious case of glaucoma once and went to the doctor. Now, understand, I am a college graduate. I have a master's degree in physics, and I have been in the professional world for many years. I go into this doctor, and he looks at my eyes, and he said, "All I can say is your eyes are mad at you." I said, "I want a diagnosis." "Well, they're mad at you." And he walked out. I will also tell you, we didn't pay his bill. That is not the way to deal with me. I've also, on the other hand, had ophthalmologists who were really good at trying to do the things that they needed to do, not only in terms of dealing with my eye pressure and other things, but explaining what they were doing and talking to me about it and allowing me to ask questions, which sometimes were pretty advanced questions. The only serious medical experience that I've had outside of and the ophthalmological stuff wasn't serious, but the only serious thing was I had a gallbladder removed in 2015. And even there, the surgeon started out a little bit difficult to deal with, but we talked, and he wanted to do the surgery that day. And I really wanted to wait a couple of days. And when we did finally do the surgery and we did wait, he said, "You are absolutely right. You know your body, and I should have listened," which was great. But I think that quality health care means that people have to understand you and really become aware of you and find out how much you know about your body, because they can talk to you more intelligently if they believe and understand that you know something about your condition or whatever, or your situation. It doesn't need to be a bad condition.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in what you just said. I mean, first of all, the question of, like, what does it mean that your eyes are angry at you, right? That's not a diagnosis of any sort. It's, you know, it's a generalism. And then, you know, you talking about the doctor saying, "You know what you're talking about, and I should have listened to you from the beginning." How condescending it is to think, "Oh, he's just a patient. He doesn't know what's going on." What's your reaction to that?
Well, when they realize we're more than just a patient, but we're human beings, and treat us like human beings, the relationship grows. My current regular doctor is great. He has conversations with me. We talk about things as I go in for annual physicals and so on, and does a great job. And I can't complain a bit about him.
Wonderful. What do you wish your medical providers understood about you?
That blindness isn't the problem. Their attitudes about blindness is the problem. Let me give you a perfect example, and it goes across the board, not just to me, but around this country and around the world. Kaiser Foundation 2 years ago or last year did a survey of COVID-19 websites that would allow people to schedule vaccinations or COVID tests when that was the way to do it. Out of 94 they surveyed, 10 had some level of accessibility. Most did not.
Wow.
And the medical profession doesn't deal with disabilities very well. They don't generally understand my wife, what she knows, and in terms of how to deal with a chronic paraplegic. They certainly don't mostly understand about blindness. They need to learn. We are as capable as everyone else. We may use different tools, but we can do the same things that others can do, and we need to not be left out of the discussions.
Yeah, that's your statement. You know, we can do what everybody else can do. Don't dismiss us. Another tweetable moment, which right. I love. So thank you very much for sharing that. I think that this is where I'm supposed to be. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
Well, again, they could start connecting with patients. They could start learning about the people that they serve, and they are providing a service. In the case of people with disabilities, they need to spend more time understanding disabilities and learning what they need. But I think all of us, what they need to do is to recognize that we are part of the equation, and our minds and our abilities are part of the equation, no matter who we are.
Yeah, it's so right that you can't dismiss the patient. You can't leave them out of the equation. It's got to be, as one of my previous guests said, it's got to be a healthcare team. I think it was MJ Calloway was talking about, it's got to be a team. And that team is not just doctors, nurses, and therapists, but the patient has to be included in that team concept. Is that,
I would agree with that 100%.
Cool. All right. So Michael, we're almost at the end of our time together, but I want to give you a chance. We've got about a minute and a half left for you to just share a completely non-medical related story about about you and I, how we met, and your story from 2000.
So basically my story is that I was the Mid-Atlantic region sales manager for a computer company and opened an office for them in August of 2000. The office happened to be on the 78th floor of Tower 1 of the World Trade Center. And of course, needless to say, I was in the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001 in my office doing some work, preparing to do some sales seminars that day when the airplanes hit the towers. And we were able to walk down the stairs with everyone else. I learned what to do. I knew what to do to get out. I led others and helped others and worked with others to help others to get out because I knew what to do. I had taken the time to learn what to do in an emergency. And so we did that. And so I was not afraid leaving the buildings. We wrote a book about it called Thunder Dog, The Story of a Blind Man, His Guide Dog, and the Triumph of Trust. That's available everywhere. It is. It was a number one New York Times bestseller. One of the things that I realized during the pandemic is that that I specifically have not really taught people how to do the same things that I did. That is, how to face an unusual and unexpected situation and not fear it to the point of being blinded or paralyzed so you can't move forward. So we're starting a new book, and we've got a contract for it. We've started writing. The working title is A Guide Dog's Guide to Being Brave, because I've been working with guide dogs for 58 mm-hmm. years. And we're working on it, and it will help people learn how to deal with things that they would otherwise be afraid of and face them and think more intelligently about making wise decisions.
Right. Fantastic. Michael, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your perspective on healthcare.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and hope all the rest of the podcasts go well.
All right. Take care, Michael.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.